Okay, so let's start. Let's first look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 at 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We all think we have a very good handle on life as to things that happen. We're prepared. We're ready for any unforeseen things happening. Witt's a perfect example of that just a week or two ago with his car going out. He didn't know what to do. We don't know what to do because we never know what's going to happen. And we always need to be prepared with the right mind on our shoulders and ignore ourselves and turn to God. 1 Corinthians 6 at verses 19 and 20. The scripture says, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? You were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Who's got control of us? God does. And we need to submit to Him. It doesn't mean that He regulates every little facet of our lives and tells us, you're going to go here, you're going to do this, at what time of day or anything. It just means that He has control over us in the sense of leading us to heaven. And we need to submit to that control. The reason this is brought up is because there's so many things in life that are conundrums to us. We don't know why they happen, good and bad. And sometimes we just cannot get a proper answer for it. And what we have to do is just not even think about it, ignore it, but put it back in God's hands. Let Him take care of our lives for us. That's the most important thing. He is in control. There's many examples in the scriptures that point this out. Joseph is one of them, all the way from Genesis 37 to chapter 45 and his life. We remember Joseph having been sold by his own family, his own brothers, and into Egypt, ultimately, is where he landed up. But in his life in Egypt, he progressed. And he became in the hierarchy of the government there. And it ultimately comes down to his brothers 22 years later going to Egypt to seek for food because there was famine in the land. They went to Egypt to look for food and to ask Pharaoh for food. They ultimately came before Joseph, and they were astonished that their brother was there. They figured that he was long gone, dead, buried, after having sold him. But when we look in Genesis chapter 45, at verses 4 through 8, we're going to find out that God had control in that whole situation also. He used Joseph's life for a great benefit. Genesis chapter 45, verses 4 through 8. "And Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath a famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing or harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Now it was not you that sent me hither, but God." God had control over that whole situation. Joseph was 17 years old when he was thrown in the pit and then sold to the Midianites. 22 years he hadn't seen his brothers. God used Joseph and the position that he held in Egypt for 22 years to be confronted by his brethren for food. And what did Joseph do? He helped him, of course. He had God's mercy with him. But God used Joseph. God controlled Joseph's life. We have to remember that. God was in control. When we look at Daniel, story that we don't talk about very often, Daniel in the lion's den, we're all familiar with that. In Daniel chapter 6, Daniel chapter 6, the story goes here that Darius, the king Darius, who took over after Belshazzar died, but he was murdered also. Darius took over the kingdom, and he wanted to appoint presidents and princes over the land. And he knew Daniel, and he knew Daniel's character and his abilities and what he could do for his country. He wanted to put Daniel in as one of the three presidents over all the princes of the land. And of course, those princes and presidents were jealous of Daniel. And so they wanted to take care of the situation, get rid of Daniel. And they didn't know how to do it. They tried to do it through the laws of the land, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't get Daniel to trip up. But in Daniel 6, verse 5, it says, "Then said these men, 'We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.'" They were going to use his faith against him to trip him up. And to begin with, they did. They got King Darius to sign a decree to punish and put to death anybody that worshipped during this 30-day period that was decreed, other than worshiping Darius, King Darius. Well, Daniel went ahead and prayed to God at the ninth hour of the day. And let's say that he was caught by these princes, and they brought him before Darius, and he says, he violated this new law. We need to put him to death. Darius was up in arms about this, but he couldn't do anything because he signed the law. Well, ultimately, he throws Daniel in the lion's den. And we pick up the story at verse 18 of chapter 6. It says, "Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him." He was really distressed over the situation of having thrown Daniel in the lion's den. "Then the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste into the lion's den. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, 'O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?' Then Daniel said unto the king, 'O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me.'" Once again, in this simple story, we find out that God had control, even in Daniel's situation. He stopped the mouths of the lions. You might forget the lion's claws, but God stopped that also. Nothing happened to Daniel because God was in control and wanted Daniel to fulfill the tasks that he had in his life. And as we see, there are many stories, not stories, but parables, prophecies that Daniel had predicted from dreams that God had sent him through the book of Daniel concerning the last days of Jesus Christ and the church being established. And there was good that was going to come from Daniel, and God planned that. And he saved Daniel out of the mouths of the lions. God was once again in control. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8:28, good memory verse. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Is this true? Well, we have to say yes.
Of course.
We have to, because that's what God said. But we don't know how true it really comes about. Because things happen in our lives. They might not be all good things. They might be bad things. Look at the story of Lazarus in Luke 16. Lazarus and the rich man, to jog your memory. Lazarus, it was said there in that context that Lazarus had nothing but evil happen to him. Remember, he was lame and he always begged for food and for alms. Nothing good happened to him his whole life. But at the end of his life, it did. It tells us that he was in Abraham's bosom once he died. That was good. All good things happen to those that love the Lord and put Him first. Our sight should be on the hereafter, not the here and now. So whatever happens to us in this life, we need to focus on the ultimate end of things, not the woe is me, look what's happening now, or all right, it's about time something good happened to me. We shouldn't have that attitude. We should be content with what happens to us in life because God's in control of it. And we just have to realize that. Acts 23 at verse 11. Let's look at what happened to Paul. We know Paul's missionary journeys and everything that he had to go through. The tortures, the beatings, the persecutions by brethren, by Jewish brethren. He was stoned. He was drug out of the city, having been feared dead. And he went through all that bad stuff. Look at verse 23 of, or verse 11 of Acts 23. Scripture there says, "And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." What have you heard God tell you that? You're going, oh, I've just suffered for 6 years here in Jerusalem, all the nasty things that could happen to me, almost wanting to just give up my life, and now you want me to go to Rome? Is that what Paul thought? No, he was told to be of good cheer, so I'm sure he had a little downheartedness to him, but he knew that it was for God's benefit. He knew that good was going to come out of the things that happened in Jerusalem and the things that were going to happen at Rome. It's because God was in control. It was his persecution, his going to Rome, his imprisonment, and death afterwards. Was that good? Yeah, it was. Why do you think God chose Paul to fulfill the job that he had? Remember, God's in control. Paul was a very special individual. He was an Israelite. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Okay, he held a high position in the nation. But there was something else that maybe we forget, that really was a benefit to him in accomplishing what God had him to do that none of the other apostles had. He was a Roman citizen. That made the whole difference. When you go through and look at the book of Acts and some of the trials and persecutions he went through, if it was not for him being a Roman citizen, the Jews probably would have killed him. Or the Romans would have turned him back to the Jews and they would have killed him. But because he was a Roman citizen, he was sent on to Rome. And what happened in all of that? What was the final outcome of him going to Rome? He ended up dying, so what good was that? It was very good, because we know that Paul was faithful to death. But you know the good that comes from it? We're reading it now, 2,000 years later. That's the good that comes from it. So when it comes to our very own lives, We're not a Paul or a Peter that people 1,000 years from now are going to read what we did and what we said. But our lives do have an effect here and now. It might take 22 years, like in Joseph's case, that the good showed up. But our lives and what happens to us and how we react to those happenings are going to have good, either for us, our family, our brethren, those that aren't Christians yet. It's going to have good. But it's because God is going to make that good happen, not us. So we got to remember that God is in control in all of these situations. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Philippians chapter 1, 12 through 14. This is something that had happened to Paul. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. That's good. That's real good. Even though he went through all the persecution, the beatings, the stonings, the almost deaths, but the furtherance of the gospel, that's good, because we can read it and we can become a Christian by understanding what Paul, through the Spirit, told us to do. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. What good comes to those that love the Lord? Look at what happened because of Paul's faithful influence. It was causing brethren to be bold enough to stand up and speak God's word and reach those that are lost and save more souls. That's what's good. When God's in control, all good things happen. It might not happen to us here and now, but it's going to happen one way or another, and we might never even see it. But that doesn't matter. We have to do what God wants us to do. Let Him control our lives. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. We took on a grave responsibility when we became a Christian. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Scripture says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We opened up with this verse, but the idea still applies, that we gave ourselves to God, and we need to allow Him to use us for His good pleasure and for causing that good to come about, irregardless of what we go through. 1 Peter chapter 4, 12 through 13. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 13. There's many things that are going to happen to us, and we're not going to know why. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice, okay? Rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. That's the good that comes from it. All those things that happen to us, doesn't matter what it is. Having an accident, being late on bills because of being sick or something, losing something or other, someone dying. It's all things that happen to every one of us in life. But there's only a select few in this world knowing why they're happening, because we know that God's in control. And how we use that information in our lives determines whether we're going to have exceeding joy when Jesus comes back. He's going to be in glory, and we hope to be in glory also. because of being faithful to him. Look what happened to Jesus, Hebrews 5, 8 through 9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Coming back here to Peter, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial which has come upon you. That's the same thing that happened to Jesus. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. When we have those bad things happen to us and good things happen to us, we need to glorify God and do and react the way that he wants us to. Let him control us. And by doing that, we're going to become like Jesus one day. Not in this life. And we'll never be perfect as he was perfect. But once we leave this life, God will change us and make us perfect as Jesus was perfect. Romans chapter 8, at verse 7. Something that gives us confidence through all of this. Romans chapter 8, at verse 37. Says, nay, in all these things, and up above it lists a lot of the persecutions, nakedness, perils, swords, all the bad things that happen. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We can conquer this life if we don't allow it to conquer us. The only way that we do not allow it to conquer us is to leave God in control and put ourselves away off to the side. Ecclesiastes, we studied this back here a couple months ago. Ecclesiastes in chapter 3 at verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. God's in control. We just have to accept it and we have to allow him in our lives to be in control. And doing that, we'll be glorifying him. And doing that, we'll be living with him forever in heaven one day. Lesson's yours.